should love. I came across this thought. I had a deep thought, Travis, and I don't have very many deep thoughts. So when I have one, I really try to cherish them, you know? I had a deep thought about an hour ago about what we love. And you know, there's so much in life. Let's just face it. Let's just be realistic. There's so much in life that we, let's just be honest here, we really don't love. Yeah. There's so much in life that doesn't go our way. There's some heads. So much in life that just doesn't go our way. And so it's real important for us as a Christian, as a child of God, to focus on those things we love. Our first lesson was, I love God's Bible. It's real important for me and you to realize God's Word is our map. It's what we should be listening to. It's what we should be reading. In a world full of things to read and so many distractions and everything, it's important. Our second is, I love God's leaders. And we talked about how God's model was that He directs His people through a man, a leader, a pastor. And so when we come to appreciate that model where God speaks to him, and we know no man is perfect, and we all are shortcoming, we have shortcomings in many ways, you know, but this is God's model, and we need to learn how to love God's model and love God's leader. The third one was, I love God's family. When we met in Summer Hall, I love God's family. And we saw how important it was to, in this day and age of getting distracted and becoming so self-centered. I mean, we can do everything at home. We can shop from home. We can get everything delivered. We don't need each other. But for the church family, for God's family, we need each other. We need this right here. I think a great fallout of today's Christian culture and the online is one of the things, as churches close down their Sunday nights, which is happening more and more, and they stop their Wednesday nights. At some point, God's people are not going to be together. They might be on Zoom or video or whatever, but they're not together. They're not seeing each other. I almost skipped this week's lesson. It's called I Love God's Property. Now, when you think of that, you think of certain things. Property, this building. And you think of that right there. But I want to kind of, we are going to go there for just a minute, but we're going to start out in Psalm 24 and think about it in a little different way a little bit later. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Now, I read that slowly so we could take it in. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything in it. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? That was a question. Now we're going to get an answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So, the lesson is called, I Love God's Property, and as I mentioned, when we hear that, we automatically assume things, and that is a part of God's property. God's given us these Let's see, I counted these chairs Wednesday night. I think I came to, man, that's terrible. I've already forgot. 360-something chairs in here. 360-something chairs. That's God's property. It's God's piano. Martha and Linda get to play it. God's property. It's been set aside for a purpose, and that purpose is for God's family to get together and worship Him. And because of that, that is special. Now we know, and the reason I, let me backtrack here, the reason I almost skipped the lesson is because you already know this. But one thing I've learned, Jerry, all through these years is there's a lot that I know in the Bible, but I need to review it and I need to meditate upon it. Because although we don't forget it, we forget it. And so I was reading through the lesson and this part about the property, you know, and all this. I was like, that's good. I believe that. But then I got to a few other things and I thought, oh, that's good. I needed that right there. So we start out with God's property. This is set aside for a purpose, and it's special because of the purpose that God's people come together and meet in this building. There's nothing supernatural about anything in here. It's all going to burn up one day. It's material. It's physical. But it's spiritual just in the fact that it's dedicated by the people of God to worship Him. That's special. And as such, it should be special to us. We should want to take care of it. I believe, and I know I may be ultra extreme on this viewpoint, but I believe the house of God should have the best of things. And I know, don't misread this, okay? If you think of a poor community who doesn't have any money, I'm not saying anything about what they have. I'm just saying the best of what we provide, can provide, should be in God's house. And these men who did a great job in building this, when we came here to Bible Baptist Church, I believe the concrete was down, if I'm not mistaken. And that's it. And men came up here and women came up here for Saturdays it seemed like forever, years, I guess, and did things, you know. And the purpose of that was so we would have a place to worship, a nice, comfortable place to worship. And that's special, God's property. And we should take care of it. You know, we don't take care of things that are not ours. I bet you Jerry now works, I'm not gonna say too much, but Jerry's been working for Enterprise for some time now. Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I bet you he's got stories about how people rent cars and don't take care of them. I was 25, I guess, 23, 24, I don't know. Worked for Alamo Car Rental for 2 years in Knoxville, Tennessee at the airport. Saw it firsthand, Travis. People who kept immaculate care and drove their car gently, they'd get that rental car and just beat the dog out of it, you know. The difference is, between us, we're not renting this from God. This is His. We're just using it. He lets us use it. In return, He wants to be worshiped. He wants the glory out of what we've got right here. God's property. Because it's His, He wants us to be a steward. And that's what we are. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So this is not ours, it's not any one person's, it's God's, but He wants us to be faithful as a steward to take care of it, to make sure it gets the best attention that we can give it. Now this is the way God's always been. Let me take you back to our studies in Leviticus. Made up my own book there, Leviticus. You didn't know that existed, did you, Stacy? Exodus and Leviticus, when the temple was being built, they made it, it became the finest structure ever recorded in history. Great skill and dedicated labor. It wasn't thrown up by a bunch of people who didn't know what they were doing. God had people who loved the Lord and who had materials, and they brought in the best of their possessions. And through the Holy Spirit, God designed the tabernacle to be built with these people's abilities and these people's skill. And it was constructed so all the pieces would fit together perfectly out of the finest materials. And they tell us if we somehow could put a cost on it today, it would be astronomical for such a small place. Because it was small. The temple, the tabernacle was small. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars maybe couldn't replace it today. But it was God's dwelling place. It wasn't about the expensive parts. That's where God met man. That's where they came to meet the Lord. Fast forward the time history, and we go to the age of Solomon. David's leaving the throne to his son Solomon, and Solomon's starting to build the temple. The Bible says that thousands and thousands and thousands of workers constructed the temple. The best of materials. The Bible tells us that while all the world leaders came to hear Solomon's advice, history tells us that the world leaders all over the world came to see this great temple. Must have been a fabulous, magnificent structure. But it was special, not because of that, but because that's where God met men and women. That's special. Another reason I didn't want to bypass this lesson is because of where our COVID situation brought us. It hastened it. It made it come faster. And that's, you know, there's quite, David made the point, was it Sunday night or sometime, that maybe a tenth, they say a tenth of churches will not open back up. So I wanted to not bypass this statement, not that we're about to close or nothing like that, but this is important. We need to love God's property. This is important. But not only should we love God's property, being this right here, but we got to realize that God owns everything anyway. Yeah, He owns this building, and but He owns everything anyway. God owns everything. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Okay. If that verse stopped right there, it would be important and it would say a lot, but it keeps going. The world and all that are them therein. That includes me and you. We get families and careers, and we buy houses, and we get to thinking that we kind of got possession of things in our life sometimes, and we forget that we belong to the Lord. And it's really, really sad when we don't include Him and give Him the glory out of our life, and we forget that He made all this. He made us who we are. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you don't have to look very far when you look at a newborn baby, how perfect and how wonderful this creation is. He made all this, and it belongs to Him. We might use it, and we might have the privilege of enjoying it. Haggai 2, verse 8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." And sometimes we forget that it's His. Do you remember the story of the rich farmer in Luke 12? He had a piece of land, and it was apparently quite a piece of a land. It was a business that he had. It was in his name, and he used his abilities. This rich farmer used his abilities to grow crops and to build barns, and the Bible says bigger barns and better barns. And there was nothing wrong with that right there. Based on that, what I said already, there's nothing wrong with that. God gives us a sense of intelligence and abilities and skill to make a living. There's nothing wrong with that. But what was wrong with him possessing these things and not giving God the glory. He became a slave to what he owned. Instead of him possessing these things, they possessed him. They became the all in all. And he forgot, hey, God owns all of this. He owns all of this. We're just using it. And we got to remember that our possessions really, really belong to God. I saw this little story. A little girl prayed a prayer before the family meal at the dinner table. And she said, thank you, Lord, for the food, the clothes, the house, all of our nice things. Her unbelieving father was at the table, and he was irritated. He rebuked her for praying like that, and he said, I'll have you know that Daddy provides all these things to you. I work for all of this, and I give it to you. You have it because I go out and make a living, and that's why you have it. And the little girl listened patiently to what her daddy was saying. And then bowed her head again and said, thank you, Lord, for giving me Daddy. And thank you, Lord, for giving him the ability to provide all these things to us. And I thought, boy, what a great perspective in life. When we get all proud and full of ourselves, you know, God's given us that ability to do whatever we're proud about. For much of the early part of our marriage, I had many jobs. This is off, way off. This is a rabbit trail right here, okay? And when we started raising the family, I wanted stability. And so, you know, I was ready to settle down, and I don't know, I think if it was ditch digging, I'd still be there. And so I've been able to stay a long time with this company that I'm with, but listen, God's given me the ability to do that. They'd fire me just like that, and could tomorrow. God's the one that's allowed me to have this stability. God's the one that's given me this insurance to get these four kids raised and out of the house. God's done all that. It's nothing special, nothing in me. All I had to do, Beverly, was show up for work. That's easy. Yeah, that was pretty important too. But God's given us what we have. And the New Testament tells us that our possessions really belong to God. They are His property, and we should love His property. He lets us use them, but they're His. Hey, listen, 12 of the 38 parables in the New Testament are about money. In parables, God gives us a lesson using a real example of something, a story. And 12 of those 38 stories have to do with money. That's a third of what Jesus said, and a third of what Jesus tried to get us to see by an example is about money. That's pretty important what we do with our money. If we trust the Lord, if we follow the Lord and His Son Jesus Christ, we're going to be concerned with what we do with our money because it's all His anyway. It came from Him. And in our tithe, once again, I'm talking, you know, preaching to the choir, but we have an opportunity to give back a portion of that in our tithe. The tithe represents the whole thing that we've got, and yet He's only asking for an amount. We believe there's good cause for it to be a tenth. Just a minimum, like Brother Chris was talking about on the past few Wednesday nights. I believe it was, maybe it was Sunday morning. The tithe just represents something we can do for Him, and it's not a maximum, it's a minimum. And it's not that He needs that tithe. He doesn't need my 10%. He don't need your 10% either. But He wants our willingness to give it. He wants us to give Him lordship over that part of our life. And this is a lesson that's hard to learn. I mean, we've all been here. Not going to ask for a show of hands. But we've all been here. A lesson with our tithe. I've seen it in my kids. You know, when they start a job, and there's a break-in period there when they start making money, and they got to learn that, oh, man, I need to write a check. And we as parents, we've stayed out of that and kind of watched it and just let the Lord speak to them. And I've seen how sometimes reluctantly, but they start giving and it gets more consistent. We've all had to be there. I've had to be there. I can rationalize and excuse things, Linda, better than anybody in here. I guarantee you I can. I'm the master at just making excuses. Except for maybe Valerie. No response. Listen, all this belongs to the Lord, and all He wants us to do is to acknowledge it and give Him the glory of what we have because it's His anyway. And He wants to bless us because of that. That verse we hear all the time, Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And the wonderful part of this verse, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. It didn't say give, did it? Pour, I'd think of a glass spilling over, a full glass of liquid or milk or something. Pour you out a blessing. That's God. He wants us to acknowledge Him with our money. You know, one of my favorite stories when we went through 1 Samuel was when the prophet Gad told David to go build a place of worship over on a piece of property owned by a man named Arunah. You remember that story? And so David goes to where the prophet told him to over, there was a threshing floor. He had a little business going on here, you know, he's making wheat. And so David approached him and said, look, God's told me to build a place of worship here on your property. And Arunah was impressed or moved. He, you know, oh, good. Well, let me give you this property. Here, let me give you this press. Let me give you anything that you need. You don't have to pay a penny for it because you're going to use it in the service and in the worship of your Lord. And David said something that's always stuck with me. David said, no. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, okay? He said, no. If I come to worship with the Lord, if I come to worship the Lord on your property, I want to pay for it. Because when I worship the Lord, I want Him to know that I've brought something with me. I've brought something. He's worth my giving. I want to exercise His lordship over my money, Arunah. So I'm going to pay you for it. And He did. And the Bible says He blessed David for that. And the big COVID-19 at the time was, I forgot which, it was a sickness. What's that called? Well, it's there's a word for it, and I'm not thinking of it right now. But the Bible says God kept that sickness away from the people of Israel because of David's obedience. So we see that principle. From the beginning of time, of God's people giving God lordship over their lives with their money. It continued, you know, it started with Abraham and continued with Moses and Jacob, and it goes throughout the New Testament. And we see when we truly appreciate the fact that we don't possess any of this anyway. He owns it. We should acknowledge Him with it, and we should give Him what He already owns. We got just a few more minutes, but I want to one last point about this. Our verse, our text, the fullness of the earth and the world and all that them therein. That's us. We live in the world, right? God owns not only us, but He owns our abilities, our talents, our intelligence. That's His. Hey, you know, that's a pretty deep concept, you know? I'm going to take Linda and Martha as examples. You mind if I use you an example? It's a good example. Okay, so maybe not Linda and Martha, but let's look at two pianists up here. The first pianist is a natural. You've known these people. They can sit down and play anything and not have any effort. They don't practice and they don't study. You know a few of them. I do too. Good night. The second pianist is in the same church as the first pianist, but he does not have that natural ability. Linda, whatever he sits down and plays or she sits down and plays, he has to work on it. Work hard for it. Study and practice. Take a piece of music and do it 200 times just so they can get through it one time in the service. So we got one talent, one ability with this first pianist. And when I went through school, I knew a lot of young men and women who had that talent. Jim, you know. Could sing, could play, I mean. And so when they provided their service to the Lord, so to speak, it usually came with very little cost, very little practice, because they had a natural ability. And so really, God only knows people's heart, but their cost, their sacrifice with their talent was one thing when they gave their service to the Lord. And once again, it's all about motive. So if they had a good motive in doing it, God was pleased with that, and He knows our heart, and He wants us to be sincere in what we do for Him. But this gal over here, she's worked hard on this. And it's a struggle to learn how to play the piano, and it's a struggle to spend years in practice and her service. God knew her heart too. And He saw, just as this guy may not have really had much of a cost to his service, He saw her cost that she did to her service too. And this is where I'm going with this. We all have a talent. Sometimes it's beautiful talent like Linda and Martha's. And sometimes it's a talent of something else, being faithful. Sometimes it's a talent of filling a need. But it's a talent, you know, kind of like Nita's talent of prayer. I mean, that's more than just an effort. That's a talent. She's a prayer warrior. It's important for us to realize not only does God own this church furniture and this property, and not only does God own us and what we do with our money in this whole world, but whatever talent you got, He already owns that. You just may not know it. And He wants us to know it. He wants us to give a portion of it back to Him. When we do that, then we can truly acknowledge Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all that are them therein. If I stand up in front of you on Sunday morning and say that, that's one thing. But if I live it, that's an entirely different thing. We don't always like our situation. We don't always love the situation that we're in. Let's be honest about it. But we can love what God's given us. We can realize that it's His anyway, and it's a privilege to give it back to Him. To dismiss us in prayer, Brother Travis, would you pray for us, please, sir?